It's so good to be here in Wisconsin. I come back here as often as I possibly can to commune with the spirit of my older brother who moved to Wisconsin many, many years ago. We were so shocked that somebody from our family would leave Minnesota and get a Wisconsin driver's license. But over the decades, we gradually came to accept this as we saw that he found in Wisconsin what he was looking for. He was a sailor. He and I grew up together, of course, and we used to go playing hockey on a pond. We played with speed skates, which make it hard to maneuver, so we were always defensemen. We never played offense, and we were always at a disadvantage, which is not a bad way to start out when you're young. You should be thankful for your disadvantages. He read all these books about the sea and Horatio Hornblower and all of those. And he found all of that in Wisconsin. He was a sailor here. He was a sailor on lakes, and he liked to work on Lake Michigan and Lake Superior. And he was very happy here, raised his family here. You lose your older brother, it's like losing your arm. You just have to get along without it, but you do remember what the arm felt like. It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, out there on the edge of the prairie. It was cold. It was in the 20s, but the sun was shining, and that makes all the difference, of course. And when the sun shines, then you can smell the earth, and then you can imagine that spring is on its way. When you can smell dirt, people were out on the skating rink for a last turn before they chop it up. People out on skates doing figures, doing maneuvers, graceful maneuvers, skating backwards, doing graceful things that you learn when you were 14 years old, and you still remember them, and they make you feel young, and then you get back on dry ground again, and you're 73, and every part of you, it's like the things you learn when you're 14. I memorized, let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark whose depth's unknown, although his height be taken. You learn these and you say it again and you feel like you're 14 again, and then you meet up with your friends and they want to talk about politics, and then you feel like 73 again. That's how it is. You can feel time's cruel sigh swinging in your direction. It was the fourth Sunday of Lent, Sunday, and Pastor Liz at the Lutheran Church preached from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the chapter in which Jesus tells the people that except ye repent, ye shall perish. She sounded pretty bad. She's got a terrible cold, and she sounded like she was right on the verge of it. Perishing, that is. Easter is now just 3 weeks from Sunday, and our college kids will be on their way home. Our college kids who have been incommunicado now since Christmas vacation, we have left them messages on voicemail and gotten the message, the mailbox is full and can take no more messages. And you send a letter with a $10 bill clipped to a little post-it note that says, please call me, we'd like to know how you are doing. And they do not, no reply. We will look forward to their return, and we will pretend that we are not interested. I walked out past the skating rink to go out to my fishing shack out on the ice, which has to be brought in off the ice by March the 7th. That's the law in Minnesota, by midnight on March the 7th. Just a little 10 by 12 wooden fishing shack there that my Uncle Jack made, who was not a great carpenter, but it stood up over 50 years now. It has a little door and a window, and there's a wooden bench that you can sleep on if you're so moved. And there's a floor with two holes in it, and you can dig a hole in the ice through those holes with an auger and fish if you would like. His daughter, Julie, actually owns it, but I have it because she and her husband go down to Florida for a month, sometimes 2 months in the winter, and they always get sick down there because, you know, there are many viruses that thrive in warm weather that winter kills off. So they go down there and immediately they feel nauseous and they can't hold food down. Just one more benefit of living up in the north where we are. There's no malaria, there's no yellow fever, is there? No, there's not. So they spend a month in a tiny room in the Mildew Motel, and semi-trucks are going by on the interstate, and they're across the street from a reptile museum from which sometimes reptiles escape, and so that makes you uneasy when you go to bed at night, and there's a used car lot, and it's, you know, meanwhile, in our town, we have all of this grandeur, snow falling as it did last night in Milwaukee, such a beautiful sight, snow falling through the trees and through the birch trees, and you look out across the frozen lake, and there's this sense of grandeur and romance, and you can imagine that you are Dr. Zhivago, and Julie Christie is out there somewhere, and she's searching for you. This is what a moonlit, snowy night can do for you, give you all of the, it's transcendental is what it is. Julie is a libertarian, and she's not transcendental at all. She is opposed to the public schools. She believes that they make children stupid, and she's opposed to the medical establishment, which she believes is just a conspiracy to push prescription drugs, which she believes are no good for you. You have no idea what's in them. And so she takes these weird vitamins like squash skin and lemon stems and Chinese herbal powders that make her feel worse. And she says that's the whole idea. You have to feel worse before you feel better. And it just makes no sense to me. I love this fishing shack out there, and I'm very sad to see it go on Monday. My wife thinks it's foolish. She says what you spend for propane and supplies out there, you could have fresh tuna flown in from the coast. But it's not about fish at all. It's about integrity. It's about being yourself and thinking your own thoughts, which is even more of a problem when you are in a happy marriage, as I am. So much more important to not to fall into the gravitational field of the beloved. It's even more. I've said something profound, haven't I? I can tell. People in a happy marriage have to work harder to keep their individuality, and this is just the truth. She is the smartest person I know, and yet she hangs out with a lot of people who are below the mark. That's why I leave home, is for freedom of speech out here. She belongs to this book club, and so many of the books that they read are books usually by an American woman, sometimes an American man, doesn't really matter. An American who's gone off to spend a year, 6 months maybe, in Provence or Tuscany, take your choice, or Nepal. And they've been there and they've discovered the secret of life. And they come back to write a book and tell us all about this. This is pretentious BS. It's just showing off. But they're all impressed by it. It's just showing off. It's like a big dog turning its tail to a little dog and raising its tail and saying, smell that. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the best you've ever smelled? No, it makes no sense at all. Every junior who spent a semester abroad comes back with the same wisdom. You know, you go off among people who are speaking a language that you don't understand, and you attribute great wisdom to them, that if you spent the 4 or 5 years it would take to become fluent in that language, you would find out they're talking about lower back pain. That's what they're talking about. And their feet hurt. And that's as interesting as it is. No, the shack has to be moved by Monday. So I called up Clint Bunsen at Bunsen Garage because he's got the wrecker and he's done this before. I called him up and he picks up the phone and he says, I'll bet you called to ask me to move your fishing shack, which is the disadvantage of caller ID is you lose the element of surprise. And so I had to think of something else. I said, no, I'm calling to ask if you're okay. I heard that you were starting to suffer from dementia, and I'm just calling as a friend. He said, you called to ask if I would bring in your fishing shack. He thinks of me as incompetent because I got kicked out of Mr. Beeler's shop class back in the 10th grade because I was talking all the time. And I was no good at anything. I was no good at the ball peen hammer, plywood. I flunked plywood. I flunked sheet metal. I couldn't make a flower school for my mother. They sent me up to Miss Pearson's speech class, and there I suffered standing in front of audience of my peers who were making faces at me and crossing their eyes and pulling things out of their nostrils and. And Miss Pearson gave me this beautiful piece of advice. She said, to overcome stage fright, all you have to do is take off your glasses. You're so nearsighted, this is an advantage. You take off your glasses, and they aren't people out there anymore. They are a Renoir hillside of flowers. So I did that, and when you figure out how to talk to people you can't see, you've taken the first step into radio, you see. So she really opened up the career for me. Now I think about all this out in my fishing shack there. I think about my classmates. I think about the ones who are dead, a number of them. Some suicides will never, ever understand those at all, a number of them. Ran into trees, careless driving. Others just died of mysterious natural causes. I think about my classmate Rex, who was a good friend of mine, who was the carefulest person in our class, kept all of his canceled checks for decades. He was so terribly, terribly careful. And then he went off to California. He was driving along Highway 1 there in Marin County, and he happened to come over a hill, just as a produce truck ahead of him, its tailgate came open, and he dropped 2 tons of bananas on the highway, and Rex saw this yellow on the road, and he slammed on his brakes, which is the worst thing to do when you're driving across bananas. And he skidded, and he ran off the road, and he hit a eucalyptus tree, and he died with the smell of cough drops in his nose and was brought back and buried in the Lutheran cemetery. I go up to see him ever so often up there because he and I were friends. We told jokes to each other, Rex and I. He was a good guy. I miss him. So I go up and tell him a joke now and then. I walked over towards his end of the graveyard the other night, and I heard voices from over there, and I realized 2 people were lying on Rex's grave. A young man and a young woman were lying there, and they seemed to be entwined. And the young man, I could hear his voice. He was saying, God wants us to be happy. That's why God made our bodies the way they are. Touching is as essential as water or light to us. Trust me. So I didn't tell Rex the joke I was going to tell him. That seemed to be the joke enough. The joke I would have told him, I'm sure he would have loved, was the joke about the man and his wife who are driving down the highway, and he's driving a little fast, and she said, "I wish you would slow down," and then he skids on ice, and he hits a bridge abutment, and they're both killed instantly. And they wake up in heaven, and it's so beautiful and peaceful and joyful. And Jesus is there to welcome them, and angels, and a feast is laid out, and they get to sit at the right hand of God. And the man turns to his wife, and he slaps her across the face. And Jesus said, "What did you do that for?" And the man said, "You know, if she hadn't made me stop smoking, I could have been here a long time ago." That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.